Well, hello and welcome back to 2010. Yes, we're back, and I can only give you a wild and happy welcome from all of us here at the Archaeology News Weekly. I am still, believe it or not, David Connolly, and as I say, from myself and the rest of the team from Diego and Dave Horrocks, I'd like to wish you all a very happy new year. So, with the first news of 2010, let's get going. This news, of course, is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. And the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Neanderthal makeup containers are discovered in Spain. And there's exciting news from excavations at an Iron Age site in Suffolk in England. Cretan finds suggest that ancient hominids may have been seafarers, and rare sheep have been killed at Flag Fen in another blow to the site. Archaeologists in Israel claim discovery of the oldest known Hebrew writing. And the Brockdorf Circle report literally rewrites Maltese history. And not in a good way. We update you on a deal signed to protect an ancient art in Utah Canyon, and there's news of an early human remains that have been found in Vietnam, and more discoveries with an ancient monument found in North York Moors in England. A new method is found to read 30,000-year-old DNA, and we round up with Neolithic tools discovered in Tibet. Newly discovered painted scallops and cockle shells in Spain are the first hard evidence that Neanderthals made jewellery. These findings suggest humanity's closest extinct relatives may have been capable of symbolism after all. Body ornaments made of painted and pierced seashells dating back 70 to 120,000 years have been found in Africa and the Near East for years and serve as evidence of symbolic thought among the earliest modern humans, that's Homo sapiens. The absence of similar finds in Europe at that time when it was Neanderthal territory has supported the notion that they lacked symbolism, a potential sign of mental inferiority that might help explain why modern humans eventually replaced them. Although hints of Neanderthal art and jewellery have cropped up in recent years, such as pierced and grooved animal tooth pendants or a decorated limestone slab on the grave of a child, these have often been shrugged off as artefacts mixed in with modern humans, imitation without understanding, or ambiguous in nature. Now, archaeologists at the University of Bristol in England have found 50,000-year-old jewellery at two caves in southeastern Spain, art dating back 10,000 years before the fossil record reveals evidence of modern humans entering Europe. At the Cueva Anton, the scientists unearthed a pierced king scallop shell painted with orange pigment made from yellow gothite and red hematite, collected some 5 kilometres from the site. The material collected from the Cueva de los Avion, alongside quartz and flint artefacts, were bones from horses, deer, ibex, rabbits and tortoises, as well as seashells from edible mussels, limpets and snails. The researchers also discovered 2 pierced dog cockle shells painted with traces of red hematite pigment. No dyes were found on the food shells or stone tools, suggesting that the items were not painted at random. In addition, they also saw an orange pigment coated horse bone that may have served as a pin to pair or apply mineral dyes, or perhaps even to pierce painted hides, as well as 3 thorny oyster shells that might have served as paint cups, holding as they did residues of hematite, charcoal, dolomite and pyrite. Black sticks of the pigment manganese, which may have been used as body paint by Neanderthals, have previously been discovered in Africa. But this is the first secure evidence for their use of cosmetics, with the use of these complex recipes suggesting much more than just body painting. These discoveries, in combination with earlier findings hinting at Neanderthal ornaments and funerary practice, suggest that the Neanderthals had the same capabilities for symbolism, imagination and creativity as modern humans. Professor Chris Stringer, paleontologist from the Natural History Museum in London, said that he agreed with these findings and they helped to disprove the view that Neanderthals were dim-witted. But, he added, the evidence to that effect had been growing for at least the past decade. So, with such a strong cultural link to the dim-witted Neanderthal, it's going to take some shaking to remove it completely. At least we can start here. Archaeologists attempting to piece together the history of an Iron Age site on Beccles Marches in the Suffolk County of England believe they are moving a step closer to drawing conclusions. A team of students from the University of Birmingham descended on the marshes for 3 weeks in the summer to try and unravel the mystery surrounding the site. In 2006, three rows of wooden posts driven into the ground were unearthed while flood defence work was being carried out. The posts have been traced for about 500 metres from the contemporary dryland edge just outside Beccles, north to the edge of the River Waveney. The work has confirmed that three parallel rows of large oak posts were from the late Iron Age and were dated using tree rings to around 75 BC. It was initially believed that the post could mark out a causeway that provided a main route into Beccles, although further interpretation of the site is currently underway. Dr. Ben Geary, who led the team of staff and students from Birmingham Archaeo-Environmental, said that they are still not sure of the completed form or function of the site yet, but with the evidence from this year's excavations, they have now shown the presence of a ground-level platform or walkway on some parts of the structure at least. The monumental character of the structure may be important, so perhaps it was intended to be some form of territorial marker, although the river did not mark a tribal boundary in the Iron Age. The function is also dependent on whether it continues on the other side of the river. The engineering works will be taking place on the Norfolk site later this year. The site has exceptional preservation of organic material, as the peat deposits provide a saturated environment that prevents decay. Now the team has secured funding for one of the posts to be conserved, which it hopes to donate to the Beccles and District Museum, but is looking for funding to pay for a display case and board. It's ever the case, isn't it? Where's the money for archaeology just now? Stone hand axes unearthed on the Mediterranean island of Crete indicate that ancient Homo species, perhaps Homo erectus, had used rafts or other seagoing vessels to cross from North Africa to Europe via at least some of the larger islands in between, so says archaeologist Thomas Strasser of the Providence College in Rhode Island. Several hundred double-edged cutting implements discovered at nine sites in southwestern Crete date back to at least 130,000 years ago, and probably much earlier. Many of these finds closely resemble hand axes fashioned in Africa about 800,000 years ago by Homo erectus. It was around that time that Homo erectus spread from Africa to parts of Asia and Europe. Until now, the oldest known human settlements on Crete dated back to only 9,000 years ago. Traditional theories hold that early farming groups in southern Europe and the Middle East first navigated vessels to Crete and other Mediterranean islands at that time. Strasser says that we're going to have to accept it. As soon as hominids left Africa, they were long-distance seafarers and rapidly spread all over the place. Other researchers have controversially suggested that Homo erectus navigated rafts across short stretches of sea in Indonesia around 800,000 years ago, and that Neanderthals crossed the Straits of Gibraltar perhaps 60,000 years ago. Questions remain, though, about whether African hominids used Crete as a stepping stone to reach Europe or were accidentally ending up there from time to time when close-to-shore rafts were being blown further out to sea. Only in the past decade have researchers established that people reached Crete before 6,000 years ago. Strasser's team cannot yet say precisely when or for what reason the hominids travelled to Crete. Large sets of hand axes found on the island suggest, though, a fairly substantial population. In excavations conducted near Crete's southwestern coast during 2008 and 2009, Strasser's team unearthed hand axes at caves and rock shelters. Most of the sites were situated in an area called Preveli Gorge. Hand axes found on Crete were made from local quartz, but display a style typical of ancient African artefacts. Well, there is a little bit of exciting news. Sad news, I'm afraid now. Struggling heritage centre Flag Fen has been hit with more woes after five of its rare sheep were killed. The deaths leave just five of the historic breed remaining at the Bronze Age site in Peterborough in England. It's believed that dogs allowed to run free at the site could be to blame for the two attacks. Park manager James Beattie said that it was horrific that dogs were being allowed to run free in the countryside, adding that it was just plain ignorance. Mr. Beattie, who was running the site after the departure of the former manager Neil Hart in October, said one of the surviving sheep also had its legs mauled. The incidents bring to a total of attacks on the site in the past 12 months to a staggering five. Flagfen has recently faced financial worries, with a lack of funding and its long-term future uncertain. However, the site could come under the control of Peterborough City Council as part of the Culture and Leisure Trust, which is due to be created in April. Police have launched an investigation into the latest attack. Anyone with information on the attack should call Community Safety Officer Carol Aston on 0345 456 4564. I've seen this before up here in Scotland as well, where animals, dogs, are getting into enclosures where these animals are kept, and it is absolute stupidity and ignorance. So, you know, if you do have an animal out in the countryside, do keep it on a lead. A 3,000-year-old inscription discovered in the Elah Valley has been deciphered, showing it to be the earliest known Hebrew writing, so say the Israeli archaeologists. The pottery shard with five lines of text in the Proto-Canaanite script that was used by Hebrews as well as Philistines and others in the region was discovered 18 months ago. You might remember us reporting on it then. The writing was decrypted by Gershon Galil of the University of Haifa, who has shown that this is a Hebrew inscription. Carbon dating has shown that the inscription dates back to the 10th century BCE. The text is a social statement relating to slaves, widows and orphans, and both the words and the concepts used were specific to the Hebrew language and society, so they say. The inscription itself, which was written in ink on a 15 by 16.5 centimetre trapezoidal-shaped piece of pottery, was discovered a year and a half ago at excavations that were carried out by Professor Garfinkel at Kirbet Kaifa near the Elah Valley. The inscription was dated back to the 10th century BCE, which was a period of King David's reign, but the question of the language used in this inscription remained unanswered, making it impossible to prove whether it was in fact Hebrew or another local language. The shard was found near the gate of a site known as Elah Fortress, about 30 kilometres west of Jerusalem. Finding such an early example of Hebrew makes it possible that the Bible could have been written several centuries before the current estimates, the statement goes on to say. The inscription is similar in its content to biblical scriptures, but it is clear that it is not copied from biblical text. Here I'll just add my other little aside here, where I would actually like to know a little bit more about this, because there seems to be quite a lot of jumping to quite massive conclusions, and there has been a lot of problems in the past with artifacts found in this area actually being shown to be not quite what they were originally expected. It's one of these things where if you go looking for something, well, you might just find that. It doesn't mean it's right, though. The long-awaited official report into the excavations of the Gozo Stone, a.k.a. the Brockendorf Circle at Shara, a unique underground prehistoric burial site near Giganteia temples, may have rewritten Maltese history in more ways than one. By failing to properly acknowledge that the site was originally discovered by Gozitian historian Joseph Attartabone, whose extensive research led to its precise relocation in 1965. Recently launched at the Gozo Ministry, the 521-page volume purports to be an exhaustive collection of articles and papers related to this unique underground Neolithic burial complex. But a seminal paper written by Attartabone in 1965 detailing the precise circumstances of the burial site's discovery was neither included nor even mentioned in the entire book. And yet it was Tabone who first alerted archaeologist Professor David Trump, who oversaw the initial investigations, to the discovery of three previously unidentified standing stones in a farmer's rubble wall in 1959. It was also Attartabone who later understood the significance of the find, recognising them as only external remnants of a stone circle that had been described in historical writings, but subsequently lost. It took Attartabone another 5 years to identify the site as part of the lost underground ruin, having established the location through visual evidence in the form of an 18th century illustration by a French artist and writer. He wrote about his discoveries in 1965, detailing the research and surface observations that led him to identify this field as the site of the complex later named the Brockdorf Circle. But he limited his contribution only to making public the exact location, leaving the actual excavation to the professional archaeologists. And agreed, Attartabone was contacted and said, "How do you feel about it? Well, hurt mostly. After all that hard work, not just to discover the monument but also to conserve it, I've had to put up with years of abuse by builders who would willingly have reduced it to rubble if they'd had their way. And then, after all this, to be left out completely, it is a great disappointment. Well, unfair or what? I hope the Gozo Ministry rectify this glaring omission as soon as possible. An agreement signed is aimed at safeguarding thousands of prehistoric American Indian drawings and carvings from truckers' dust in a famed Utah canyon in the USA, near where a Colorado company wants to dramatically increase energy development. The pact signed at the Utah Capitol is the first major attempt to address concerns over dust in Nine Mile Canyon, whose miles of decorated walls are sometimes called the world's longest art gallery. The canyon has been the focus of intense debate for several years after Denver-based Bill Barrett Corporation proposed developing 800 natural gas wells on West Tavaputs Plateau, which sits directly above Nine Mile Canyon. The Bureau of Land Management has not made a final decision on Bill Barrett's proposal. The primary concern has been concern over dust from the unpaved road being kicked up by an increasing number of trucks ferrying equipment and workers. Some worry the dust could hurt the ancient art panels, which depict bighorn sheep, owls, a two-headed snake, and spear-wielding hunters and warriors engaged in hand-to-hand combat. The agreement is meant to lay out protections for the rock art if Bill Barrett's proposal is approved. It was signed by BLM officials, the Utah governor, Gary Herbert, and Bill Barrett Corporation, as well as environmental and archaeological groups and advocates for the 78-mile-long canyon. The deal, affecting some 230 square miles, including the canyon and the West Tavaputs Plateau, includes a list of tasks such as more dust suppression and studies to determine if the rock art is and will be harmed. Well, that's hopeful news. Vietnamese and French archaeologists have discovered a paleontological site dating back more than 100,000 years in the Da Den Cave in the northern province of Thuy Vong in Vietnam. The director of the Thuy Vong Museum said on December the 24th that the scientists found hundreds of items, including bones and teeth of pigs, long-tailed macaques, rhinos, deer, orangutans and other animals. They also found fossil evidence proving the existence of humans in Thuy Vong province. The museum is making plans to protect the site and coordinating with Vietnamese and foreign scientists to continue the excavations. In Thuy Vong, archaeologists have discovered thousands of items in nearly 10 sites dating back to prehistoric times. Da Den Cave houses the largest collection of all. Now back to the snowy moors of Yorkshire. Archaeologists have discovered a monument in the North York Moors in England, which could date back more than 4,500 years to the Neolithic time. Aerial surveyors from English Heritage flew two sorties over moorland after a wildfire swept across 62 acres, revealing a prehistoric stone enclosure and at least 20 stone cairns. Although the site had been plotted on maps, a blanket of heather concealing the terrain meant little was known about it. The scheduled monument measures about 148 by 75 metres. Establishing what the monument was used for is a tricky question, said David MacLeod, the senior investigator from English Heritage Aerial Survey Team, who was hoping to unlock some of the scenery's secrets. We can't rule out, you wait for it, ritual significance. Perhaps we're looking at a graveyard. It stands as a reminder that the history of North Yorkshire is far from done and dusted, but is still being written. Graham Lee, an archaeologist from the North York Moors National Park Authority, admitted attempts to precisely date the site were fraught with difficulty. It could be 4,500 years old, or date back even further, he speculated. The site also shows signs of later activity as well, notably from the Bronze Age and even the 20th century, with some evidence of stone removal. A similar site has been recorded on Fylingdales Moor, which was also revealed after a much larger moorland fire back in 2003. This is also thought to possibly be Neolithic in date as well. Wessex Archaeology will now perform a ground survey to examine the features further. Their report will be made available later this year, and I'm sure we will also be reporting on it. Scientists have analysed DNA extracted from the remains of a 30,000-year-old European hunter-gatherer. Scientists studying the DNA of long-dead humans can open up a window into the evolution of our species. But previous studies of the kind have been hampered by scientists' inability to distinguish between the ancient human DNA and modern contamination. In Current Biology Journal, a German-Russian team details how it was possible to overcome this hurdle. The new approach, developed by Professor Pabel and his colleagues, exploits three features which tend to distinguish the ancient DNA from modern contamination. One of these is size. Fragments of ancient DNA are often shorter than those from modern sources. A second characteristic of ancient DNA was its tendency to show particular changes or mutations in the genetic sequence at the end of the DNA molecules. A third feature was the characteristic breakage of molecules at particular positions in the DNA strand. The apparent ease with which modern DNA can infiltrate ancient remains has led many researchers to doubt even those studies employing the most rigorous methods to weed out contamination by modern genetic material. Using the new techniques, the researchers were able to sequence the entire mitochondrial genome of the Markina Gora individual, used for testing. Further studies, like the one in Current Biology, could help shed light on whether the humans living in Europe 30,000 years ago are the direct ancestors of modern populations, or whether they were replaced by immigrants who introduced farming to the continent several thousand years later. The researchers were able to assign the Kostenki individual to a haplogroup U2, which is relatively uncommon amongst modern populations. Despite its rarity, the very presence of this haplogroup in today's Europeans suggests that there's some continuity between Paleolithic hunters and the continent's present-day inhabitants. U2, along with the closely related haplogroup such as U5, are among those which plausibly could have arrived in Europe during the Paleolithic. A recent study found a very high percentage of U2 types in the skeletal remains of ancient hunter-gatherers from Central Europe, compared with the later farming immigrants and modern people from the region. Meanwhile, an analysis last year of the mitochondrial DNA from 28,000-year-old remains unearthed at the Pagliacci Cave in Italy showed this individual belonged to haplogroup H, the most common type found in modern humans today. So there we have it, evidence that you two have been touring for longer than we thought. And finally, a team of archaeologists have discovered stone tools from the Neolithic period in southeastern Tibet. They were discovered by members of the Tibet Autonomous Regional Survey during the Third National Cultural Relic Survey. They found 34 stone tools and collected 28 of them, including axes, adzes and chisels. Experts of the Shaanxi Provincial Archaeological Research Institute and the Tibet Autonomous Regional Cultural Relics Research Institute, all done with one breath, judged that the tools belonged to the Neolithic age and that the riverbanks where they were found saw frequent human activity. Well, you can't say more than that, can you? So, at the end of this news roundup, I have to, of course, remind you that there is the fabulous pasthorizons.com/magazine. That's www.pasthorizons.com/magazine, where you can keep up with the latest in volunteer archaeology around the world. Plus, why not join one of the field schools that is going on out there by having a look at the field school search system they have there as well. Keep yourself kitted out with tools. They've got it all there. And if you want some more archaeology with a UK base, then come along to badger.org. We've also set up the new forum and news system, which you can find at www.badgerfed.co.uk. That was badgerfed.co.uk. And of course, remember that lots more can be found at Stone Pages, news.stonepages.com. Thanks so much for listening to Archaeology News Weekly. We hope you'll return again to us next week.